God laid a specific verse on my heart. It's Mark 2:21-22. We've got it on there. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. I'm just also going to pray if you don't mind. Father, we just want to thank you for your word this morning, God. We want to thank you that your word has power and it's got life, Father. And Father, thank you that your word is spirit, God. You speak to our spirits and your spirit, Lord, brings life. So Father, I pray, God, that you'll anoint every word this morning with your life. And Father, even as I'm speaking, Father, I pray for your life and your word to produce change in our lives, God, that we will not walk out of here this morning without being changed by your spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, in this scripture, it's talking about wineskins. It's talking about new wine and wineskins. And it's talking about new wineskins and old wineskins. So just so that we've got a picture in our head of what a wineskin looks like, on the left, on your left, there's an old wineskin. And on the right is a new wineskin. Now, it was basically a skin that they would pour grape juice in. And they wanted new wineskins because new wineskins was able to preserve the new wine that they poured in there. In the old times, they used to preserve the sweetness of the juice by first straining it and then boiling the juice and then bottling it and keeping it in a cool area. Now, if they had used old wineskins have yeast in it. And the yeast would actually cause the juice to ferment. And obviously it will kind of bubble up and it will actually cause that old wineskin to burst. And Jesus here is talking about giving us new wineskins for the new wine that he wants to give us. In this context, Jesus was actually speaking to the Pharisees. They were talking about fasting. And because of the way of the Pharisees, now Pharisees were very well trained in the scripture. They were God-fearing people. And their way was always to fast. And then Jesus' disciples weren't fasting. And they asked him, but why are we fasting and they're not fasting? And because Jesus was there and he was bringing in a new way, because of their old ways and their traditions and especially their mindsets, they weren't always able to receive and understand the new thing that Jesus was busy doing. So he said to them that you actually need new wineskins. And his emphasis here is not just on the new wineskins, but it's also on preserving the wine. And the new wine was actually the new gospel that he was bringing. It was the new life that he was declaring. It was the Holy Spirit that he was about to pour out. And he knew that if their mindsets and their ways were stuck, that not only would the wine, the new wine, be corrupted or altered or changed and completely lost, but they themselves would be lost. They themselves will be destroyed by the new thing that Jesus was wanting to do. So his emphasis in this verse is actually on preserving both the new wine, preparing them for the new thing he wants to do, but also preserving the wineskins. He wanted to bring the new thing, but he had to make sure that the container was ready to receive the new thing that he was doing. In the same way, I feel for us as a church. A year ago, God actually gave us this exact scripture in church one morning. And it was like he was saying, I'm wanting to do a new thing in Hermanus. I'm wanting to, where there's a spirit of division, I want to bring a spirit of unity. And God gave us the scripture and he said, I cannot bring the new thing without changing the container. And that's what God did with us as a church a year ago. He said, I'm bringing something new and I'm bringing it together so that I can actually pour in something new. But now again, I feel the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to do something new again. I'm wanting to bring more of my spirit. I want you to experience the presence of my spirit. I'm wanting you to receive more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because ultimately, we want to see this town change. And we're not going to change this town just by feeding schemes. We're going to change this town by the Holy Spirit. And I really sense that God wants to pour out more of his spirit. And this morning, he wants to ask us, but do we have the wineskins? Can we contain what he wants to do? Because I think what God wants to do is going to blow our minds. I think God wants to do way more than our current level of expectation. And all across Hermanus, I think it's one of the biggest things that has been standing out for me in Hermanus is the amount of people who are praying for revival, from the youngest to the oldest, especially the old tannies. I mean, there are people on the mountain once a month. They're standing on the mountain and they're praying for revival. And everywhere I'm walking and the people in all the churches, the word revival keeps coming up. And you know, this morning, the sermon isn't about revival at all, but it's just something that God is stirring in our manas. And a revival is going to be awesome, and it's going to break down barriers between churches, and it's going to bring a complete change in this town. And that is what God is taking us. But step by step, he wants to take us. And this morning, the first step is getting the new wineskins for the new thing he wants to do in us. He emphasizes this, if we go back to that verse 22, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. But it also says there, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, otherwise the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. So he's saying, sometimes we've got a garment, and we see this new thing that God wants to do. Even in our walk with God, he says we grow from glory to glory. And as we grow, our hunger for God increases. Our need and our realization that there's so much more increases. And that is like the new cloth. It's something like we have our life, and now we see something that's missing, and we see something that we want to add. And instead of saying, God, give me this new thing, give me a new cloth, we sometimes say, but God, give me that patch, and I'm going to patch this thing into my current life. So I don't want my business to change. I don't want my mindset to change. I don't want the way I relate to people to change. I just want to add this one thing. And then what happens to this one garment that you kind of sew on is that thing that you want is going to produce life. And that thing is going to start stretching and growing. And because it's sort of on this old garment, it will actually tear and both will be lost. So he's emphasizing this again, that we can't just take a bit of him. We can't just take a little bit of the new thing he wants to do. We must actually say, God, I surrender. God, I am willing to change my ways, to change my ways of relating to people, to change the way I do business, to change the way I work and the way I work with people, to say, Lord, even change the way I relate to you so that you can do the new thing in me. Okay, does that make sense? Great. One of the things that God emphasized for me was just walking with the Holy Spirit. I think one of the things he desires for us is to walk closer with the Holy Spirit. And if we look in Acts, I was just fascinated. I just went to look up all the words in Acts where it talks about the Holy Spirit. And if we go to Acts 5:32, it says, so this is just the way, this was the first church, this is really the way that they related to the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts 5:32, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. So they were witnessing with the Holy Spirit. So just imagine the person of the Holy Spirit with them as we read these scriptures. Acts 9:31, it says, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. So they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. How often do we say, the Holy Spirit said to me? It says, the Holy Spirit said to them. Acts 13, verse 4. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. So here the Holy Spirit actually spoke to them and sent two of the disciples. So he sent them. In Acts 15, verse 28, it says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirement. It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. So they knew what the Holy Spirit felt. They knew what seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Acts 16, verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So here again, the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kept them from going to certain areas. Acts 20, verse 23. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. So again, here the Holy Spirit is warning them. So we see here a very dynamic relationship that the first disciples had with the Holy Spirit. They were interacting with them. He was leading them. He was guiding them. And often they would say, an angel appeared to me, and the angel said this and this. And then the Holy Spirit appeared to me and said this and this and this, you know. So they were very, they were interacting with the Holy Spirit. They were walking with the Holy Spirit. They were talking with the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly how our lives should be. Our lives should be a continual walk with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, if we've given our lives to Jesus, we are spiritual beings. We've been born again. Our spirits are new. And the reality is that Jesus wants us to walk, or the Holy Spirit wants us to walk in step with Him. So that means, obviously, that we can walk out of step with Him, or that we could possibly not walk with Him. So He's saying, if you live by the Spirit, then walk in step with the Spirit. And then also Jesus says, it's better that I go away that the Holy Spirit can come. Now, have you ever thought about that a little bit? Why is it better that Jesus goes away so that the Holy Spirit can come? And the reality is, if Jesus was right here, a lot of us, I think, would say, no, I would rather have Jesus right here. Why did Jesus have to go away? Why can't He be right here? So if, for example, Jesus was here, He would probably be, say, in Jerusalem, which means you will probably have to spend your, save for a very long time to fly there. And then you'll have to wait in a very, very, very long queue. And then you'll probably just have 30 seconds to speak to Him. So you'll probably have to think very, very, very carefully. What is that one question that's really burning on your heart that you want to speak to Him about? So Jesus said, it's kind of impractical. I can't really stay. But if I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And not only is the Spirit just here with us, there's something more that the Holy Spirit brings that's not the same if Jesus stayed here on earth with us. And that's what Jesus gives us now. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the person of the Holy Spirit with us, which is better than having Jesus Himself in the flesh here with us. Do you experience it that way? Do you experience the presence of the Holy Spirit that way? And that's what God wants. He wants to give us the fullness of His Holy Spirit so that we can really have that relationship with Him, that we can really have that interaction with Him that the disciples had. The Holy Spirit is the one who's our comforter, who's our guide, who's our friend, who's the one who comes alongside us. And He desires to have that kind of relationship with us. And if we think about it, if He's here with us, then obviously it implies a conversation that we're having. It implies that we've got a relationship with Him. And I was thinking about this a little bit, that if the Holy Spirit is right here with you, and say, for example, that you're driving in the car and you had your friend in the car with you and you're driving to work. Wouldn't it be awkward if you're driving to work and you never ever said a word to him? If your friend is sitting there next to you in the car, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit now, but obviously I am. But if there was a person sitting in the car with you and you're driving to work and you never said a word to him, would that not be a bit weird, you know? And the other weird thing would be if you were just having a monologue, if you were just talking, 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 and the other person never responded. And that's what I felt the Holy Spirit saying, but He's right there with you. He's in your car when you're driving to work. Are you chatting to Him? Are you talking to Him? Another thing that I was reminded of as I was thinking about this was in England when we lived there, I worked for a very wealthy family. I worked for the private equity division of a very wealthy family. And they had this big house, and in this house they had incredibly old and expensive paintings. So on occasion, they would invite art collectors to just come and look at the paintings, just to come and, review it or whatever. So one evening, we as the staff also went, and it was just so fascinating. You can imagine, it's London, it's these big old houses with these old paintings. And it was literally this one guy had these, this typical like round glasses with a mustache that went like this, like with a little point at the top. And he would actually go and spin this thing, and then he would like appraise the art. Then he would go and he would talk about it, what he thinks this artist meant when he painted it, and what the artist was going through in his life, and why did he paint it that way, And they're trying to kind of figure out why the artist painted that picture in that particular way. And then the Holy Spirit just said to me, but sometimes we're like that with God. Sometimes we're trying to understand the ways of God. And we look for signs and we look for confirmation. And we look for the ways of God, which is important. It's very important to know the ways of God. But sometimes the artist of the painting is standing right next to us and we fail to ask him, you know, why did you paint it that way? He would tell you exactly why he painted that painting exactly that way. And for me, just to give you a practical example, recently the house we were living in was sold and we had to find another house, and I just hate the whole house finding process. So I said to God, oh God, just send me a house. Just send it to me. I'm not going to look for it. Obviously I would, but you know, just send something to me. The next day, my brother sent me an ad that he saw in the paper. I phoned the number and the lady starts explaining this house to me and saying it's the house next door to the one that we're living in. And I'm thinking, but that's not the ad in the paper. And then she said, no, but the ad in the paper is for something else. But you know what? The house right next to you is available. So it's available immediately. You can move in. I thought, this is God. And I had this still small voice saying to me, but ask God. And I was like, this is definitely God. I mean, I asked God to send me a house and the house came and it's God, you know. And now, ever since, I think I haven't slept for most evenings because it's the house is, there's just a lot of noise in the house, a lot of stuff. And I just felt again, you know, sometimes we look for the ways of God and we see confirmation. And I didn't just wait and just say, God, is this you? Is this actually you, you know? Just ask him, you know? And he wants to speak to us. So what is the language? So we've talked now a bit about talking to God, but how do we hear him? And I just want to become a little bit practical here with just hearing when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The language of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. So the language of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. If we think of just the season that we as a church are in, we spend 40 days. Andries gave us a 40-day challenge to spend 15 minutes a day in the Word of God. So training our language, spending time with God, learning the Word, meditating on it, remembering it. And currently we're in the 40-day challenge. Are you still in the 40-day challenge? Are you still working on it? For the current 40-day challenge is spending at least 15 minutes a day just in the presence of God, just waiting on God. And all of these are just steps to help us walk closer with the Holy Spirit. So as we learn, as we meditate on the Word of God, as the Word comes into us, the Holy Spirit is able to bring God's Word to our remembrance. I'll give you another example. Andries and I, if you don't know the story, we got to know each other in Madagascar. And we were on a cycling holiday there. And we went with mutual friends. So I knew who he was. He didn't really know who I was, but we went with these mutual friends to Madagascar. But the way this guy convinced Andries to take me along to Madagascar was he said to him, I can speak fluent French, which is not at all the case, but I don't know, he said that to him. So obviously when we got to Madagascar, Andries was expecting me to speak fluent French to all these people. But the reality is I had French at school and I can follow very, very basic instructions. You know, I can understand what's left and right and go forward, and I can greet people. But my command of French is very limited. So I can basically follow instructions in French. You know, if we really got lost, I can get us out, you know, by following instructions. But I can't actually have a heart-to-heart conversation with somebody. And so the same way it is with the Holy Spirit, that sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to have a heart-to-heart conversation with us, but we're not speaking his language. You know, the Holy Spirit, just so that you know, the Holy Spirit also speaks to us in our thoughts, and I'll get to that. But the reality is that the Holy Spirit wants to bring us back to the Word of God. The more we understand the Word of God, the more we have the Word of God in our hearts, the more the Holy Spirit is able to bring that to our remembrance, able to speak to us, because the Word has power. The Word is the power. So he constantly wants us to bring us back to the Word so that he can explain his thinking. The Word is the Spirit. So he wants to speak to us in the language of the Bible. So how does he speak to us through the word? Sometimes, for example, you would just get a portion of a scripture coming into your head. Then it's important not to just let it go. Just go take the word and go and read that portion of scripture. Sometimes you'll just get a phrase of a scripture, like rivers of water. Then go and find that phrase. Sometimes what God is wanting to tell you is that exact phrase, but sometimes he's trying to tell you something which is in the context of that phrase, or sometimes it's the passage before or the passage after. So it's always important to go back to the word and go and read what he is trying to tell you. Sometimes you will just get a word in your mind. A while ago, I was organizing a conference, and the word flourish kept coming in my mind. And I was thinking about this word flourish, and I thought, flourish, you know, we think of plants, we think of something that grows well. And then what I did is I actually went and looked up in my concordance. In the back of most Bibles, you will find a concordance that will tell you, you can look up a word, for example, flourish, and it will show you everywhere that word is in the Bible. And you can also do that, obviously, on Bible. There's lots of Bible apps, and you can even type it into Google. Okay, so nobody has got an excuse. We can all find it. And I looked up the word flourish, and the word actually said, let me just find it. Okay, flourish. It says in Psalm 92, verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. So I was like, wow, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. So that means if we're in God's family, if we're finding a spiritual family, that means we will flourish. Okay, so what does the word flourish mean? Then I go into the dictionary and I go, what does the word flourish mean? And it was so amazing. It actually means to thrive, to be in one's prime, to be at the height of fame, excellence, and influence, to be successful, to prosper, to grow luxuriantly, or thrive in growth. So God is actually saying that if we are planted in his house, if we are planted in his family, that we will grow, that we will thrive, that we will be at the height of excellence, influence, and fame, and we will grow luxuriantly. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that the Holy Spirit can give you the word flourish and actually have such a deep meaning and wide meaning that he's actually trying to communicate with you? So that's what we do with the words that the Holy Spirit gives us. We need to train our spiritual senses. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Now I'm actually going to go first to Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. He's saying the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, but you have to train yourself to know the voice, his voice. You by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to train myself to hear his voice, to distinguish good from evil, to distinguish the voice of the Spirit when he is speaking to me. So as we train our spiritual senses and we hear him, he's able to say more to us. He's able to have deeper conversations with us. So in one way that I often train myself practically is I would actually just write down, when I have my quiet time, I would just write down my whole conversation with God. So I would just, you know, take a piece of paper that you can throw away that you don't, you know, you don't want other people to see. Just take a piece of paper and just start writing to God what you are saying to him. And as you write, you will hear his voice in your head. It might just sound like your own thoughts. Most of the time, it just sounds like your own thoughts, but it's actually his voice. So write down what you're saying to him and write down the thoughts that come into your head. And it's amazing that when you read that back, you can actually see where the Holy Spirit was speaking to you and where it was just you speaking to him and where he was speaking to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to us way, way, way more than we know. He's always speaking to us, but we have to train ourselves to distinguish his voice. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to us by an unction. He will give us a sense, you know, of something that we should do. Sometimes we're driving in a particular direction and we say, and the Holy Spirit tells us to do something else, or not to leave the house now to avoid an accident, or sometimes He will just give you that impression. So we need to become sensitive to that sense that He's giving us. Sometimes, you know, when somebody brings a word here in church, it's the anointing is right there to produce that change in our lives. What God is saying right there, that's the word. And with that word is the anointing to change our lives. So if you're sitting in church and there's an altar call made and you know that word is for you, then come forward. Come forward and just allow God to bring that change in our lives. We've got a very, very special member in our small group. And he's saying, it's so weird, but he always feels he needs to come forward. And he knows if he's not obedient, you know, he's not going to go to the next level with God. And it is a little bit like that. We need to follow him. When he speaks to us, we actually need to act on what he is saying. I think something very important also is that the Holy Spirit will speak to us through other people. So as we draw closer to him and as we're more aware of him, he will speak to us through people, you know, through casual conversations. He will suddenly hear, okay, this is actually something that God is saying to me. And often he will speak to us, obviously, through prophetic words, in small groups, in church. There are so many ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But I think one thing that we need to, that's very important just to underline all of this, is that the Holy Spirit will never contradict the word of God. So whatever you feel he is saying to you, you must always measure it. Again, going back to the word of God, which is his language, is that the word of God is basically going to guide you. If what you are hearing or what you are sensing is trying to tell you is contradicting the word of God, then it's not the Holy Spirit. So that's why we also need to have a strong understanding of the word, or just spend time in the word. And then it also implies obedience. So just as much as the Holy Spirit is the person, a friend, the one that we want to have conversation with, and the one we want to chat to, and the one we want to spend time with, even as he's the one who comes alongside us as our friend, he's also our master. He's also our Lord. So as he speaks to us, if we're obedient, he can continue speaking to us. So we must act on the word that he gives us. We must follow what he's saying to us. And as we do that, he's able to lead us more and more. I just want one final thing we're going to look at. Is first of all, we looked at all the scriptures in Acts where it says about the Holy Spirit, and it talks about the relationship that the apostles had with the Holy Spirit. But next, we're going to look at all the references in Acts where it talks about the people, the actual apostles, how the Holy Spirit described them. Let's look at Acts 11, verse 24. It says, Barnabas, this talks about Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So they're talking about Barnabas, and he was saying he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Then in Acts 6, verse 5, it talks about Stephen, and then they said they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Acts 4, verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Acts 7, 55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Acts 39, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, whatever. Acts 13, verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So in each of these cases, we see that these were the men that the Holy Spirit speaks about. And in every instance, we're hearing the phrase, full of the Holy Spirit, or full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And so there's something here that if we want this kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know, there's a fullness of the Holy Spirit that we need. So it's not a measure of this Holy Spirit. It's not an interaction with the Holy Spirit. It's a fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like to just share my journey with the Holy Spirit, and just my testimony of what the Holy Spirit had done in me. I gave my life to the Lord when I was in grade 10, standard 8, at that stage. And I was very depressed at the time. And I just gave my life to the Lord at a camp that I was in. And they basically said, take everything that you're feeling and put it in a box and give it to Jesus. And literally, I put all my anger and my depression and everything, and I gave it to him. And literally, I was a changed person overnight. I was filled with joy. I was just, you know, I really had a relationship with God from then on. And then I got, there was another meeting and I gave my life again to the Lord. But basically I had this relationship with the Lord, but it wasn't a relationship that was like a river of living waters. The Bible says that when we come to Him, it will be like a river of living waters that never runs dry. It's this constant flow of life through you. And for me, it was like there was seasons that it was dry and there were seasons that I needed more of the Holy Spirit or more of God. And I would be close to Him and then a bit far away from Him. And then I kept reading in the Word things that weren't being done in the church that I was in. And I just couldn't understand why there were things in the Bible that we weren't doing in church. And then my father at the time lived in England. So we saw him every 6 months. And when he was here, he would take me to the Dominie because he didn't understand, he didn't know how to answer me. So I would go to him. He was really a great man. And he would explain to me why it's not necessary, why we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. And it kind of came across like, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's almost like a crutch. It's kind of like, if your faith is really strong, you don't really need it, But if you need a little bit of a crutch, then, that's good. So that's kind of just the way it came across for me. And then I was fine for 6 months. And then I was confused again, why is it in the Bible and we're not doing it? And then, so this kind of happened until I went to university. And then when I got to university, I knew there was this one church, Shofar, and you just don't go there because it's a sect. And then one day, and anybody who said that they were going to Shofar, I would explain to them why they shouldn't go there and why they definitely don't need the Holy Spirit. And I had like these 10 reasons of why you don't need the Holy Spirit. And then one day, I was telling another person who was in Shofar exactly what I was thinking and, why we don't need the Holy Spirit. And then he just started praying in tongues. And I mean, have any of you done that to somebody before? I got the fright of my life. I was in complete shock. Because yeah, this thing that I've been fighting was actually real. I kind of knew it was real, but I never heard it. I never heard actually anybody speaking in tongues. So I was completely thrown. For 2 weeks, I was in my res, in my room, and I was crying. I was just crying before God. And I was just saying, God, you need to tell me. Because I know what my Dwimley was going to say. And I know what this weird sect is going to say. So, he must now reveal the truth to me. So for 2 weeks, I was just crying in my room. I was just like so desperate for God to just tell me the truth. What is it? How does it work? So I've got like 5 minutes. I think I'm just going to quickly go through just slightly how the Holy Spirit. I've got 10 minutes. Okay. He's giving me an extra 5. Okay. So basically what the Holy Spirit said to me, if we go in John 20 verse 22, this is literally how we read. God, I read through the whole of John and then I read through Acts. And basically these two books were falling on each other. So if you go to John 20 verse 22, it says, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So here Jesus, having resurrected, goes to his disciples, breathes on them, and says, receive the Holy Spirit. So they've got the Holy Spirit. Then, just after that, he says, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait. He said, I breathe on him, and said, here's the Holy Spirit. And then just after that, he says, but go and wait for the Holy Spirit. So what's happening here? Two things are happening. So he says, receive the Holy Spirit in John 20, verse 22. But then he says, in Acts 1 verse 4 to 5, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So here he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So many people, many of us, if we give our lives to Jesus, we cannot say Jesus is Lord and really mean it and Him really becoming our Lord. Like I said, I was saved. Only through the Holy Spirit can we do that. We cannot say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So we have kind of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. But what He's saying is that we can also be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a gift. And I said earlier that Jesus had to go away so the Holy Spirit can come. It's so that He can come, but it's also that He can give us the gift that God has promised. And this is what's happening in Acts 1 verse 4 to 5. In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts 2 verse 1 to 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, They were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then throughout Acts, we see that everywhere the disciples went. So they, initially it was, they were all in the upper room. They were praying. The Holy Spirit came on them. They all started speaking in other tongues. Then we see them going out to believers and saying, have you received the Holy Spirit? No, we haven't. And then laying hands on them, and then they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then the outward sign was always that they were speaking in tongues and prophesying. So we see here just another example. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Okay, so disciples are believers. And they asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? And they said, John's baptism. And Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were baptized in water. And then Paul placed his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And we see this, you can read the whole of Acts, that every time, on a couple of occasions, while they were preaching, the Holy Spirit came on people and they would speak in tongues and prophesy. So we see every single time that the Holy Spirit was, that people were prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they were speaking in tongues and prophesying as well. So that's the outward sign that we have. And I really sense this morning that God is saying that He wants to give us everything. You know, we don't have to be fine with a trickle of water. He's saying, I just want to go back to a scripture here. Where he's saying about the living waters in John 7:38. You can go right back. John 7:38 is, whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. So it's only after Jesus was glorified, only after he had returned to heaven, that he said this word actually came into fulfillment. That from us will come rivers of living waters. It will not run dry. It will be full of life. And just as all the disciples in Acts, we can see that they were people full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And the way we do that is just saying, Lord, how is my wineskin dry? Is my old mindset, is my old ways affecting the ability of the Holy Spirit to come and fill me? Because if that is the case, if you were like me, were you for years convincing people not to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and that it's not necessary, and it's not real, then this morning is for you. This morning, all you have to do is say, God, I believe your word, and Lord, I want the gift. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to pray for you, and you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And for the rest of us, some of us need to just walk closer to the Holy Spirit. Some of us need to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is your friend right here with you. That He's the one who wants to lead you and guide you and direct you. And so I'm going to give you opportunity, just as we call people forward to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you could just, where you are, just say, Holy Spirit, you know, just give me a new wineskin. Give me a new ability to receive from you, a new fullness of the Holy Spirit. Some of us have maybe received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you weren't speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is just, again, the language of the Spirit. Whenever we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we see in Acts every time there were people who were prophesying and speaking in tongues. And they're speaking in tongues. I'll go a lot into that on Wednesday. If you want all the details of that, you can come on Wednesday evening at Encounter One. We'll talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the tongues and how all of that works. But right now, I want you to just respond to the Spirit, what the Spirit is saying to you. And if you have been prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you're not speaking in tongues, we're just going to pray for God to release that. Because that is just a powerful way of us, when we don't know what to pray, to just start praying in our tongues. And as we do that, we're connecting, our spirit is connecting straight to God's spirit. And we're able to speak directly to him, and we're actually able to speak his will directly. And as we pray in the spirit, it's almost like we start understanding with our minds what he is saying to us. So that's a gift to every one of us. And a gift is not something that you earn. It's not something that you have to work for. It's just something that you can receive.